Our scripture this morning is from Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 20. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, "If I hear the voice of the Lord, my God, any more, or ever again see this great fire, I will die." Then the Lord replied to me, "They are right in what they have said. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet, who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Preached out of Deuteronomy before. I've preached plenty of times out of the Pentateuch. That's another way of referring to the first five books of the Bible. But usually I focused on Genesis and Exodus. That's where the action is. When I recite in my mind the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, I usually think the beginning with Leviticus that we get into the nuts and the bolts of being a people, the rules to follow for living in community, proper worship, safe dietary planning, what size the tabernacle was supposed to be, what it was made of, all manner of stuff that was very important to the original audience, but not too exciting for contemporary folks, or at least not for me. And then I came across this week's lectionary reading from Deuteronomy, and may I say, OMG. Now, if you're not a texter, that means, oh my gosh. This passage has so much in it, in six little verses. It kind of made my head spin when I started thinking about the possibilities. And while I have tried to put what I have gleaned into something cohesive and linear, it's entirely possible that you'll be feeling that way a little bit too before I'm done. When I was in seminary, and I took the basic introduction to preaching class with Dr. Joey Jeter, I can remember very vividly the first day. He opened the topic of preaching by reading a passage from the New Testament that has Paul preaching all day and night, and so long that a man by the name of Eutychus falls asleep, falls off the wall he's been sitting on all day and night, falls to the ground and dies. Now, if ever there was a passage to encourage preachers to know how and when to end a sermon, that was it. And then when I was reading the passage from Deuteronomy, I thought, what if Dr. Jeter or any other homiletics professor had started with this one? Especially the part that reads, "But any prophet who speaks in the name of other gods or presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die." You know, I'd be surprised to find any students in class on the second day. There are a great many people in this world who have a deep love for God and gifts for ministry, but who would never consider congregational ministry for this very reason. It is a daunting and intimidating task to stand before the people of God and attempt to utter something worth saying, worth listening to, worth following and integrating into your life. And we preachers can put a great amount of pressure upon ourselves, not only to present a message in a manner that is interesting, easy enough to follow, and at least mildly entertaining, enough so that you stay awake, and enough so as to make it memorable in the hopes that at least some small sliver of what is said will sink in and take root. There is little more frustrating than to spend hours, heart and soul, pouring them all into crafting a message that you offer. People respond with delightful affirmation for your words on Sunday morning, but as much as you enjoy their flattery, you are equally certain that once they walk out those doors, not one thing you said will stick. And then I look back at the passage from Deuteronomy, and I find encouragement from those same words that I initially said could send any would-be preacher running for the hills. For you see, these words, this whole passage, even is as much for the pastor as for the congregation. Those words remind me that my job as pastor and prophet, for that is what a lot of preaching work often is prophet work. Those words remind me that my job as preacher and prophet is not to say what I want you to know and exhort you to do what I want you to do. My call is rather to get myself out of the way somehow. My call is to seek the guidance of the scriptures in the context of where we are and to try to put a message together, knowing it is flawed, knowing it will never be perfect. And yet trusting that somehow, through God's will and power, the Spirit will work through me, use me, and speak to you what God wants you to hear. And I've seen it happen, too. I cannot tell you how many times I have had the experience that I've preached a certain message with particular points, and then after the service, had someone come up to me and tell me what they heard in the message and their response to it. And inside my brain, because I would never say this out loud to you, I'm thinking, what congregation were you in this morning? Because it wasn't here. That's not what I said at all. But then I realize that that's one of those God moments where God has worked through me, maybe even in spite of me, to deliver a message that someone needed to hear. Whether they were words of hope or challenge, doesn't really matter. Sometimes it's a combination of the two. Often it's a combination of the two. So if I'm not trying to give my words of counsel or advice, but to let God use me, then those words that were once threatening are now reassuring. And I don't have to worry so much. If my goal as preacher is to be a vessel or a window, something transparent through which God can work and speak, then I can keep my ego out of it and know that I won't get into too much trouble with God for what I say. Now, this passage also takes a little pressure off of me, pressure I often put on myself and sometimes have been weighed down by. Remember verse 19, God says, anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. Yep. That means I don't need to blame myself if I'm doing all that I can to let God use me for God's purpose and God's message in this place. It does, however, place a wee bit of responsibility on your shoulders for what you do with the message that you receive. If you listen, hear God calling you, and then put it aside for later, dismiss it, or refuse to answer, then you are accountable to God. Whew, I feel lighter today. Oh, sorry. That's probably not the case for you. Because now this passage tells you that not only are you supposed to come here and worship on Sunday mornings, but you're supposed to get something out of it and then do something with what you receive that will affect your life Monday through Saturday as well as today. Bummer. You know, there is such a phenomenon among preachers, though few like to admit it, that I like to call recycling. Now, I'm sure you can guess what that is. But in the commentary I read by William Carle on this passage from Deuteronomy, he told a story of sermon recycling taken to the extreme. The story goes that the pastor on a fine Sunday morning preached a brilliant, inspiring, eloquent sermon. The people were moved. Some said it was the best they'd ever heard. The words of affirmation were flowing and sincere. Then came the next Sunday, And the pastor got up and gave the exact same message, word for word. Again, the people were stirred by it. Many had positive things to say, despite their curiosity as to why he preached the same message 2 weeks in a row. Then came the next Sunday. And guess what happened? He got up and preached it again. Finally, one of the congregants had the nerve on the way out the door to say, "Preacher, that was a great sermon, but some of us wanted to know why you keep preaching the same sermon again and again." And the pastor smiled, sort of like the Cheshire Cat from Alice in Wonderland, and replied, "Because I haven't seen anybody do anything about what I said yet." God provides you with a leader and a message. Lately, it's been me. Over the last year or so, when I have been away, Richard Bryan has been a fine vessel for God to use. Some before me have had names like Ken, Don, Mike, Danny, John, Carolyn. But the name and the face don't matter so much. God uses preachers and prophets to call people back into relationship with God, into a healthy and growing and thriving relationship, not one that is stagnant and neglected like an overgrown garden. Yet ultimately, as God's people learned from this passage, when they were preparing for Moses' retirement and for Joshua to become their new leader, that God provides the leadership and uses those leaders to speak a word to the people. But the people must heed. The people, yes, that's you, must respond. Responding means you come from the pews to become prophets in the public sphere. This isn't Las Vegas. What you do here doesn't stay here. You become the prophets in the streets, in the soup kitchens, in the hallways of high school or junior high. You become the prophets that speak a word of love from God through actual words and sometimes just through actions. In nursing homes, in your circles of influence, home, work, school, play, you advocate for the poor, calling your community, your neighbors, your elected leaders to accountability through your words and by example through your own deeds. You are called as prophets, or as Paul liked to phrase it, ambassadors of reconciliation. Paul understood his work, and occasionally I have a good grasp on mine. It is not to do your work for you, but to let God use me to teach, to guide, to exhort, to comfort, and ultimately love you into being who and what it is God is calling you to be. I pray that this morning God has been able to work through me and through this service to bless you, to challenge you, to call and empower you. For you are God's chosen ones. You have a holy calling all your own. And God has given you gifts and will give you what you need to answer that call. Hear, heed, trust, believe, then do. Be the light of Christ. Go in the name of the Lord.